23.
23.
All right, well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody this morning, and it's good to have this weather that God's providing. Ain't sweating or nothing, so feels real good out there. Once again, let's stand and turn to page 23. There's power in the blood. Will you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you be free from your victory to win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power. Working fire in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than stone? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin's stains are lost in this life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you be ready praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Let's go in, Lord, in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's good to be in your house this morning, Lord. And we thank you for this wonderful weather you've given us, Lord. It's cool, and we just thank you for it, Lord. And just thank you for all the rain you've given us, Lord. And thank you for the ones that came this morning, Lord. And just be with the ones that hadn't, and just let them join us on YouTube, Lord, and just and be with Brother Jeff as he brings us your message, Lord. Just touch his heart, and just hopefully the ones listening, and they take it in their heart, and Lord, and just if they're not right, Lord, and if they're not saved, that it'll touch them where they can get saved, Lord, and just. But thank you for everything you do for us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all may be seated. All right, let's go to page 246, Redeemed. 246. Shall is forever. shout forever I am. Redeemed to happy in Jesus, no anguish my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence would need to condemn to lead well. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his son forever I am. I think of a blessed Redeemer. I thank him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent. His name is the theme of my song. Redeem, redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem, it shines forever I am. I know I shall see in his beauty the kingdom of law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeem, redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem, his stars forever I am.
Good to be here today. I want to thank everyone for coming. Missing quite a few. Feel like we're in the boat lopsided. Y'all feel like we're kind of leaning one way or the other. Amen. Hopefully some others are coming in. So do pray for that. Also with it, do continue to promote the YouTube. Let folks know. I think we're at 107 right now. I'd love us to get to 1,000 where we can just push a button, don't have to go through a third party. But nonetheless, I'm thankful for God giving us the opportunity. YouTube still goes out there. We've got the opportunity to reach hundreds of thousands. We really don't know the bounds of it. And so do pray that God would use that. Do pray for safety, of course, for the church. I ask you to pray for direction for our country and for the church. And then pray for our missions. I hope that missions has truly been a focus of yours this month, that you would keep it in prayer. I just kind of celebrate a little bit with you today. Today makes one full year of full time. I quit my job 1 year ago today. And so it's a blessing definitely to you say, preacher, has it been worth it? Absolutely. And, you know, I didn't have any idea COVID existed or was going to take place, and yet God did. And you say, preacher, what's that make a difference? A lot, because I've had to spend a lot more time on the internet and on the computer than I normally would or would have been able to, and not to mention being able to get CDs done and get those mailed as well. So God knew everything he was doing. I know that caught some off guard, amen, but he still knows what he's doing, amen. And so I'm thankful for that. Do ask you to keep Jonathan in prayer. He called me this morning, said he was having some, wasn't feeling well, was worried about food poisoning, so do keep him in prayer. Of course, keep Sister Lindsay and Silas in prayer, and excited. I don't know how many have seen pictures and haven't, but it's exciting to see that Silas is here. I did request via Sister Sarah that Sister Lindsay would send me a picture of Silas when he's 12 days old. She said, preacher, why is that? Because Brother Richard had a mustache at 12, and I always said that it was 12 days. I just wanted to see if he had a 5 o'clock shadow started. Amen. So do pray for them and their safety. Also, keep Miss Virginia Hodges in prayer. She is currently in the hospital, hoping to come home today, but I do keep her in prayer as well, and I'm thankful for God's safety through that. Amen. That's all the announcements I have, and do appreciate everyone coming, and hope you came for a blessing. Amen. I'm thankful. Listen, Brother Russell had mentioned, boy, he's thankful for this cooler weather. I know Brother Jack was talking. There's several of us that was just kind of rejoicing in the cooler weather, but it is nice to be able to go outside and not have to run so that you can get in out of the weather. Amen. And it has been very beautiful, and I'm thankful for how God's provided and given us that safety and that just refreshment. 60 degrees in the morning, that's refreshing to me. Amen. That's refreshing. Yes, ma'am. That's Wednesday night. This is Sunday.
Her grandson, she was homeschooling and running music.
Zayden. Zayden or Aiden? Zayden. Amen. 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 We'll definitely keep that family in prayer. Brother, you got another song for us?
Amen. 244, brother. Okay. All right, let's stand and turn to page 244. Amazing Grace.
Amen. Excited to what the Lord's doing. Fall, I think it's not officially here till Tuesday, but you know, Sister Sarah had, she loves fall, she loves the colors of fall, and so to be honest, at our house it could be decorated for fall all year long just because she likes the color. And I was giving her grief because 1st of August she was ready to set fall up and be ready and prepared, and I was like, a little bit early, isn't it? She's like, is it? And so then the 1st of September, I couldn't hold her back anymore. She's like, all right, we're gonna start getting all the stuff around for fall and get everything up and going. And so she put everything up. And I was just, you know, kind of like wishful thinking. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, because if we put up the fall decorations, that means the fall temperature's got to follow. Amen. And so I'm thankful just how the Lord's provided. And I know some of you would say, preacher, is it really that big of a deal? Brother Russell, it's really that big of a deal. Amen. You spend some time outside and your work's outside. I think about, we've got several. Brother Jackie's out there. Brother Russell's out there. Brother Richard, Brother Stephen, Brother Jacob. There's several that's their jobs is outside or out in the elements. I had a man that I used to work with that he wanted to go to school to be an AC guy, an HVAC guy. And he's like, you think about it, you get to work in the air conditioner. I was like, hey, knucklehead, they don't call them when it's working. Yeah, right. Amen.
they're in the areas where there is no AC because something's wrong. Amen. And he kind of rethought that. He's like, yeah, that doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun, does it? I was like, yeah, no. No, uh-uh. Nope, not at all. Amen. Matthew chapter number 17. Matthew 17. I'd like you to look at verse number 14. I truly have been very concerned about our Faith Promise missions this year as far as the conference. It's kind of an odd missions conference. We've just had it every week and for the month of. And I had forgot all about it, but I was going to print out our Faith Promise commitment cards and pass those out today. I'll have them for you Wednesday night, and we'll kind of go over it a little bit, probably Wednesday night. But with it, the first week of October, I would like to receive those cards. I will go ahead and I'll mail them out with the CDs that I send out this week so that those that are getting it by CD will have it. Say, preacher, how do I get it back in? Put it in the, do not put your name on it. Whatever you do, do not put your name on it. I do not want to know who pledges or commits to what. This is between you and the Lord. But it is how we make our budget for Faith Promise Missions. And so that's kind of the point behind receiving it and seeing what the Lord's going to do and use us, or how He's going to use us and work through us. But with that being said, I've been in much prayer over these lessons and over these messages to see how God would lead us. Because God's been so gracious, and we've had such a... I mean, we could just stop right now. If the Lord had returned before the first week of October, boy, we could just shout and say hallelujah how God's used us and how Faith Promise Missions really changed our church. It really did. I do not believe that I would be full-time in the ministry 1 year as of today if it wasn't for Faith Promise Missions. I really believe that God has used it. And I know you're going to say, well, preacher, I thought that was all for the missionaries. It is. But may I tell you, when faith grows over here, it grows here too. And it grows here, and it just begins to continue to grow in your life. And so what would God have us do this year? Listen, 2020's been a crazy year. It really has. There's been things that have taken place that I would have never dreamed of in all my years. I'd never seen, never expected. Maybe it was something that you had read in a book, a fiction, science fiction book for the future. And boy, we're not in flying cars, but they drive fast enough. Amen. And with that, we have some of the technologies that I remember as a child. I would read this book, or maybe it was even in high school, and you'd sit down and you'd read this book. And I've told you before, I never read all of it. I read, the first parts of some of the chapters, and then you'd read towards the last chapter. I didn't ever read the whole book. You say, preacher, why not? I didn't have time for that. Amen. I was not a reader. I didn't like it. Amen. And now I read constantly. So it's amazing how God works. Anyway, I'll quit boring you. But I do want to see God do something amazing in this church, amazing in my life, amazing for you. And He can do it. He's the God that can do it. Amen. You have another God, and may I tell you, well, He's not really a God. Amen. Matthew chapter 17, when you get there, let's stand. Matthew 17, we're going to look at verse number 14. Familiar passage to most. Once again, I can't preach anything new. Everything in here has already been preached. I'm just going to try to bring it to you the way that the Lord would have me to deliver it today. In Matthew 17, verse number 14, and the Bible says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to Him a certain man kneeling down to Him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic.'" Now, there's several that can say that, amen. Not in the same context. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful God gives us a sense of humor. "And sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.'" Verse 18, "And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you." I want you to hold that in your mind. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. If the Lord had helped me today, I would like us to think as these disciples that had came to Jesus in verse number 19, and they asked, why could not we cast him out? Why could not we cast him out? We've got this major problem. We've got this major issue in front of us, and yet we seem powerless in front of it. And may I tell you, we have an all-powerful God. And so we must ask, why could not we cast him out? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. Father, your grace and your mercy that you, Father, you give to us in spite of us. Lord, we do not deserve the mercy that you've given us in the aspect of even a glance our way, let alone salvation paid full and free. And then, Lord, I think of the grace that you bestow upon us, and Lord, it's not because of us. It's not because we've done something to win your favor. But instead, Lord, we just receive that grace from you in spite of us again. And Lord, as we come today seeking for your desire in our lives for a faith promise missions, Lord, it's not based upon what we can do. It's not based upon a budget. It's not based upon some means that we may have. But instead, Lord, it's based upon solely trusting you. And Father, I need you today. In my heart, in my life, I need you to speak to these people, Lord. I don't want them to hear from me. I want them to hear from you today. Then, Lord, I think maybe there's one today that might be lost and undone. And Lord, they've came, they've heard your gospel message, but Lord, they've never placed that faith that you've given them to receive that grace of salvation. Lord, I pray that you would touch them today, that they would see their need before they're everlasting too late, Lord. And Father, that it'd be to your glory. Help us today. Use this message to your glory and your honor, and we'll praise you. And I do thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We look at this passage of Scripture. I can't help but think that these disciples were overwhelmed. Have you ever had a time where you felt overwhelmed? Maybe I remember times where we've came back on vacation and didn't have the opportunity to do laundry during that vacation, and so you know your suitcase is now small, but your dirty laundry bag is humongous, and you bring it in and you dump it out for Mama, and Mama gets started on the laundry and she's got everything all separated out, and boy, she's overwhelmed with it. And then it's like, well, you get home off the road, you're tired, you're wore out, and everything's going on, and well, you just feel kind of overwhelmed. Maybe in that feeling of overwhelmed, it seems too large to even tackle. Maybe it just seems you're too tired to even address it. And so we look at this situation that's going on, and we think about everything that's taken place in this. If we were to actually look back in Scripture and understand the day that's going on, this would have been the day after the Mount of Transfiguration. You say, "Preacher, why do you say it's the day after?" Because Peter, James, and John are taken by Jesus, and they go to the Mount of Transfiguration, and we know that it was the next day that they come, and they see these disciples. This would have been the nine disciples that would have been left. Y'all tracking with me? He took the three, and that would have left nine there, and they're dealing, and they've got a multitude. You say, "Preacher, who all's in this multitude?" And we'll look at this in greater detail tonight. But I look at this multitude that's around them. There would have been scribes that would have been there. There was this man that had the son that was sick that needed the help. There would have been this son that was there. He was present as well. And then there was the rest of the multitude that's just kind of where we are today. You know, we've all seen the documentaries or the pictures where the school of fish just seem to just follow. Maybe there's even just one that's going, and then they have a rock that comes up, and it seems like some of them come around and they just end up parting the rock. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Y'all kind of looking at me like, preacher, I didn't know fish swam. They do. They swim. All right. I'm not asking you to make fish lips and show me how they breathe and everything. I'm just bear with me a minute. May I tell you, that was the rest of the crowd. They were just the followers. They were waiting to see. We would call them the fence riders today. There's a whole lot. Look out at our country today. There's a whole lot that it just takes a drop of a hat for them to follow another direction. And so we would call that multitude, or we would look at them at what's taking place, and that's the rest. And these nine disciples have now been bombarded. This multitude's around them. I don't know about y'all, but I've really enjoyed social distancing. I'm not great on social space anyway. I'm fine. I was always that one that already gave the person in front of me plenty of room in the checkout. I'm not the one that pushed them out of the way. I used to get so mad at Harvey's when we would go up here and they'd start running my groceries through and the other person hadn't even got their groceries off the other end. I'm like, no, hold on a second. I'm not in that big of a hurry. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, this multitude is around them. I'm telling you, if it would have been me as one of those nine, I would have been going crazy because I can just see them. They're nitpicking them. The scribes and the Pharisees are there and they're questioning them. They're trying to discourage them. They're doubting them. They're trying to deceive them. And all of this is taking place. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? They're overwhelmed. And there's times in our life, in our spiritual life, that we get overwhelmed. Lord, what do you really want me to do? How do you want me to do this? How is this going to be achieved? And so, well, they're overwhelmed. And faith promise missions, no doubt, can be overwhelming. We can see the multitude around us. We can see that the need is real. Do you think those disciples didn't look over and see that boy that his father had brought? Now, the Bible tells us here that he was a child. And scripturally speaking, that would have meant 12 and younger, or younger than 12, 11 and younger. And you think that their heart wouldn't have been broken. You ever see a child that was sick and you didn't automatically go, how sad? Why do you think that when they have a TV pledge conference, they put the children on there? Honestly, Ronald McDonald House, I love Ronald McDonald House. I'm thankful for Ronald McDonald House. But once your child's 21, they're no longer considered to where you can stay at Ronald McDonald House because your child's in the hospital. It doesn't matter if Jacob went into the hospital right now and it was over 100 miles away and we could not stay in the Ronald McDonald House because Jacob's 21. But if Jeremiah went into the hospital and needed to stay, we could go because, well, he's only going to be 5. He said, preacher, what are you getting at? I guarantee you the disciples looked over there and saw how great the need was. You know, when they show all the pictures of Ethiopia, they don't show the old man and the old woman that's sitting out there. May I tell you, they're just as bloated and just as starving as the children, but the heart went out for the child. And these disciples seen that the need was real. Have we not seen that the souls that are dying today, do we not get worried about our country and the wickedness that's affecting our children? And we see the need's real. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I can't help but think that missions, faith promise missions, can sometimes seem so overwhelming because we know it's real and we know it's urgent. We got to do something and we need to do it now. If 2020 hasn't done anything but open our eyes to the fact that things can change like that and it's out of our control, now, it should open us up and wake us up to go, you know what, the Lord's coming back soon. It really should. And we understand that there's an urgency that needs to take place, and it's not even based on our ability. Faith Promise Missions isn't based on anything that you can do. That's why it's Faith Promise Missions. And so I look at this group, and I look at what's taking place, and may I tell you, it's just like today. This man had brought his son to the right place. If anyone knew how to help him, these disciples did. But yet they couldn't. Because sometimes we miss it. May I tell you that in 2020, our Faith Promise Missions will be no different than it was in 2015. It will still be none about us and all about Him. You see, this man brought his son to the disciples that couldn't do anything. Instead of bringing him to the disciples to find out about the Lord. You see, why was the disciples so powerless? Because it wasn't within their power. But instead, it was in the one that they could tell this man that could help them. Why can't we cast him out? Why can't Faith Promise Missions this year be even bigger than it was before? Why can't we reach the world? I had told you the other day, 7.2 billion or whatever it is, 7.6 billion in the world right now. Why can't we reach them all? And I know we're going to begin to make excuses because that's what we do. Well, you know, preacher, we're just a few people here in Pembroke, Georgia. Most people don't even know where Pembroke, Georgia is, and they live in around the area. I've had people that live in Pembroke their entire life that don't even know where Northside Baptist Church is. We'd say, well, you know, there's language barrier. We've had people come to our church that didn't even speak English. And they sit here and they listen and they come and they come and they come and they come and they keep coming. And they'd be here today if the buses ran. I really believe that. And yet, may I tell you why we can't cast them out? It's the same reasons that the disciples couldn't. And so I would just simply look at verse number 19. Why could we not cast him out? I find that Jesus answers because of our faith. Because of our faith. In verse number 20 he says, because of your unbelief. Now I love it when Benny Hinn and I, you say, preacher, you watch Benny Hinn? Absolutely not. I don't watch any of those quacks. But I love it when they say that you're healed. And you're healed because of His great spiritual ability. But when you're not healed, it's because you didn't have enough faith. I mean, it's amazing how that works. It's easy to go, hey, if you're touched, it's just the same as many times when Sister Sarah, when we were able to eat back here, and she'd bring something and someone had asked her what it is, and I would chime in with, if it's good, that's because I made it. If you don't like it, it's because she made it. Amen? And it's the very same thing, and yet we just try to cast the stone to someone else. This church is so great because of the preacher. This church isn't going anywhere because of the people. Amen? And it's amazing at what takes place, but Jesus said it's because of your unbelief. I was in the fourth grade. I remember my fourth grade teacher gave me this great insight. Brother Carey, you realize that when you point your finger at someone, you've got three more pointing back at you. Amen? And so therefore, you point like a leader. You use your whole hand. Amen? And then none of them's pointing back at you. That's leadership. Amen. And so Jesus said it's your unbelief. It's all because of you. And so if we're going to look and we'd say, preacher, why can't we reach everyone? Why can't we have a Faith Promise Missions that would just be something that would please God? Because it's really not just so that we can brag. It's not so that we can have more of a trophy wall. It's so that we can do this work that God sent us out to do. And that's the whole purpose of Faith Promise Missions. It's not because Northside Baptist Church needs recognized. It's not so that when I call someone up and they go, oh, you're that church with that great Faith Promise Missions conference. No. We just want to be faithful to the Lord. We want to see souls saved. May I tell you that it's not just the children that are dying without God. It's their daddies too. And their mamas too. And he says just simply it's because of our faith. Notice, if you would, the limiting of faith. The limiting of faith. It's only faith that held them back. It was only faith that had kept them from moving forward. It was only faith that kept them from really working a great work for the Lord. And I know it goes back to our excuses, and we'd say, well, preacher, it's because of, and it's because of, and it's because of. But no, it's only because of their unbelief that they weren't able to do it. He just simply, I know that we live in a society that wants it sugar-coated. I've told you before, I'm not good with politically correct. I've never been considered to be politically correct. I just call it for face value. This is what it is. Let's just be honest about it. I don't want a doctor that's going to come out and want to be politically correct. Listen, doc, if I've got something wrong, if I've got a splinter in my finger, I don't want you to tell me all the ways that you can comfort me. I want you to tell me if I need to cut my finger off, praise God, cut it off and get it over with. And yet today we think that we've got this splinter in our spiritual eye, and I just want to put a bandage on it. And God said, let's just cut to the chase. Jesus didn't sugarcoat this for him. Here's these disciples that have done great work. They've witnessed great miracles. They've seen many help. We'll look tonight now. I don't want to chase my rabbit tonight, but the disciples had already been sent out. They had already cast out demons. They had already cast out devils. And yet, why can't we do this one? We've already had a Great Faith Promise Missions Conference. We've already had a Great Faith Promise Missions Years. We've already seen God do. Why can't we do even more this year? May I tell you, it'll be because of our unbelief. It's because of our faith. Notice, if you would, the limiting of the faith, it was the only part that held them back. If faith brings it possible, then it's unbelief that cripples it. If it's faith that enlarges the reach for missions, then it's lack of faith that prevents it. May I tell you that nothing, notice this, verse number 20, the very end, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Nothing. You know what encompasses? We always like to use the all-encompassing all. You know, all shall be saved. All. And boy, how great it is to say all. But yet we find that nothing shall be impossible. And I know I've heard preachers say, well, this isn't really a mountain. This isn't talking about the physical mountain. You know, I don't know that it's not. I really don't. You're going to say, preacher, you're one of those quacks that believe that you could really move a mountain by faith. I haven't seen anyone with enough faith to move it. That's what I would go back to. And the Bible teaches us that if it makes sense, just leave it there. Don't try to make it into a picture. Jesus pointed to a mountain and said, look, if you just had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. And I get it. I know the application. And I know that we can take and we can apply that to any mountain that's in our life. And God can move it. And I know that. But He says that nothing shall be impossible. May I tell you, that's even the physical mountain? Nothing. I'll be honest, I've seen some people with faith. I wonder, I'm not into seances, I'm not trying to call someone back from the dead, but I wonder if we could talk to George Mueller today. You say, preacher, who in the world is George Mueller? A man who knew what faith was. He knew what faith was. In fact, he had came to the place that, you know, Brother Scooter, he didn't even talk to people that wasn't like him. I'm talking about other churches. He'd have others that would want him to come and talk to him, and he just got to the place. He's like, look, unless they have the same walk I have, I'm not doing it. You say, preacher, that's kind of narrow-minded. No, that's kind of Bible. It really is. It's Bible. And George Mueller didn't rely on man for anything. He relied on God for everything. You know what I really believe, and I'm not trying to speak for George Mueller, but I just have this notion that he believed nothing shall be impossible for you or to you or with you. Nothing. You'd say, preacher, you got some other verses to prove that. Yeah, I remember in Genesis chapter number 18, Jesus pre-incarnate is there with two of his other angels, and he's speaking to Abraham. And Sarah's over here at the tent door, and he tells Abraham that Sarah's going to conceive. Now, at this point, she's 89, and at 90, she's going to conceive and have a child, and she laughs. And he responds, in verse number 14 of Genesis 18. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And she goes on and says, oh, I didn't laugh. And he goes, oh, yes, yes, she did. So not only did she not have faith, but then she lied about laughing. How many times are we that same way? And so I look here, I find not just the limiting of faith, but I think about the liability of faith. The liability of faith. Have you ever known God to give you something that He didn't have a purpose for giving it to you? Now listen, there's a purpose. And we could think about, I'm watching Brother Stephen as he's sitting here, and I don't know which one he has. He's got one of the boys. We'll just leave it there. And there's a purpose for those boys. There really is. It's not just so that they can spit up on him and you know, pull his beard. And it's not even just so that they can look cute and make him smile and make him laugh. That's not the purpose of them. They have a purpose in life. Aren't you glad that as a child of God we have a purpose? Amen? And our family has a purpose. But may I tell you that God has given us everything for a purpose. You know what He gave us? Faith. Our faith is produced by Jesus. It's not your faith. It's His faith. The faith He gave you. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one that gave it to you in the very beginning, but then He's going to continue to complete it. He's going to continue to work it. He's going to continue to grow it in you. And there's a purpose for it. There's a purpose for it. May I tell you that our faith is pleasing to God. It tells us in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For He, let me get up here to my verse. For some reason, I can't keep it in my mind here lately. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so I find that our faith is pleasing to God. I look as well that our faith is reportable. I say, preacher, what do you mean? Now hold on a second. Jesus told the disciples why they couldn't do it. May I tell you that your faith is reportable? Why can't you do something? Your faith is reportable. He's given it to you so that you could do for Him. Oh, we've always talked about this is for the glory of God, and we've talked about this is the work for the Lord, and this is that, and this is that. But may I tell you, the only way to do it right is faith. Let me explain this, and I'll give you the verse here in a minute, but let me explain this. Even the things that we've been doing that we don't think we need faith for anymore, we still need faith to do it. Sunday school, it should still be done by faith. It's not because of some great intellect that you have, it's because of faith. It's not because you've done it all these years. Sister, I don't know how many years you've taught the kids, but it's been a lot. It's not because she's got all this years of experience of teaching these children, and so therefore she doesn't need faith. No, may I tell you, every time you need faith to continue on. Everything that's going to be done for the Lord to please Him is going to be done by faith. Bus program, that bus ministry that we have, it's still going to take faith. It doesn't matter if we've known the route. It doesn't matter if we've drove it all these years. It doesn't matter. Understand that the 12th of October of 2015, we went to Cartersville, Georgia. Several of us went. Brother Stephen was still, he had just had surgery. He was Hopalong Cassidy, and he's on his crutches. And we go and we pick out these buses. And we drive these buses back from Cartersville, Georgia to Pembroke, Georgia on the 12th of October. And may I tell you, of 2015, we've had those buses for almost 5 years. They're one day older than Jeremiah. And you say, preacher, man, it is amazing how you know that. Well, I remember that we went and got him the day before he was born. It's just easy to remember. But listen, still going to take faith. The children's church, it's still going to take faith. The nursing home, it's still going to take faith. Church service, it's still going to take faith. And everything that's done, if it's going to be done to the glory of God, if it's going to be done to His pleasing, is all going to be through faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, I'd like to tell you that our faith is reportable. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done. Now listen to me, you got to read this, you got to see this, whether it be good or bad. May I tell you that that done is speaking about how we've done it? And if we haven't done it in faith, we haven't done it good. We've done it bad. You say, preacher, but all these that we've met and all these that we've reached and all these that we've done, if you haven't done it by faith, it's been by you and not by him. May I tell you how the disciples, those nine disciples, were casting out this devil? It wasn't by faith. It was by them. I guarantee you they said the same things that they had said all the other times. They had quoted the same scripture that they had quoted all the other times. They had done everything the way that Jesus had told them to do it, but this time they did it without faith. And Jesus kept a record of it, did he not? Because when they came to him and said, why couldn't we do this? The very first thing that he said is you didn't have the faith to do it. They had the mechanics. They had everything in place. They just didn't have the faith. Notice as well, we find that it was because of their focus. He goes on in verse number 21. Now, I don't know how your Bible is, but there's a lot of Bibles out there that tell you that verse number 21 can be admitted or omitted, if you would. But it really needs to be admitted. Some of you will get that here later. Why would Satan want to take that verse out? Howbeit, this kind goeth out, or not out, but by prayer and fasting. Notice, if you would, it's not just because of our faith that we can't do more or won't do more. It's also because of our focus. You say, preacher, where do you get that? Where it says prayer. Where it says prayer. May I tell you that prayer shows priority. Prayer shows priority. Think of the common prayer list today. Open up your prayer list. Now, I'm not talking about your prayer list that we do on Wednesday night. I'm talking about your prayer list that you have come tomorrow morning. When you get up and you begin to pray, what's it normally for? Maybe the temporal needs, the things that we want God to do for us. It's like a wish list that we've made up. And Lord, I want you to address this, and I want you to address this, and I want you to address this, and I want you to do this for me, and I want you to do that for me. And it's a wish list. Hello, I'm not saying that there's not wrong to pray for the things that you need, but how many times is it the things we want more than the things we need? And prayer shows priority. In Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 33, the Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. May I tell you what was before Matthew 6 and verse number 33? It's the fact that we begin to toil about today. We begin to worry about what's taking place today. How good's it done? How much has it really changed? None. But you can seek the righteousness of God and His kingdom, and all these things will be taken care of. I think about James chapter number 5 and verse number 16. I had a lady that came to the church one time and told me that we didn't have this pronounced right. This do in remembrance of me. She's like, that's not proper English. I was like, it's very proper English. In fact, it's exact English. In James chapter number 5 and verse number 16, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you say, preacher, what's that have to do with the communion table? Everything. You see, we've taken and we've wanted to rearrange the way that the Word of God is spoken. May I tell you that our desire should be that we pray for each other. We've got a church prayer request, we've got a church prayer list, and I've told you before that the members of the church shouldn't have to be written down except for specific things that they have going on at the time. Because we should be praying for each other. Pray for one another. You say, preacher, that's as needs arise. You ever have a day you didn't need prayer? You ever have a day where you didn't need God to intervene in something? And so I look here and I find that we need the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that we would pray for one another. Notice as well, how much time do you spend in prayer? Prayer shows priority. How much time do you spend in it? How much time do you spend in it? Take your Bibles now. Hold your place in Matthew. Take your Bibles and turn over to Matthew chapter number 26. In Matthew 26, I want you to look at verse number 36. We come, Jesus is here. They've already had everyone likes to call it the Lord's Supper, but He had had the last official time with His disciples. They had received communion, if you would. That's the first communion. That's where we follow the example. And they had sang a song. Then they had went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. In verse number 36 here of our text, Jesus is speaking, now listen to me, to the same nine. Actually, I'm sorry, it would be the same eight out of the nine, because Judas isn't here. Judas has went to betray him, or went to link up to finish the betrayal. In verse number 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and he saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Notice this, he takes the three again, and he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and very heavy, and he saith, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He goes on verse number 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, which ones? The three. And findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now I'm not going to read the rest of it, but we know that he goes again and he prays and he comes back and he finds them the same way. He wakes them back up and he goes again and he comes back and he finds them asleep again. And he tells them, rest on. And then he tells them, get up, the hour's at hand. I say, preacher, what are you getting at? How much time have you really spent in prayer for missions? Faith promised missions. I asked you at the beginning of this month. In fact, I probably asked you if we'd go back. I probably asked you in August to begin praying for the month of September. We're going to have our Faith Promise Missions Conference all month long. We're going to have it prepared and ready. And I wonder, how much time have we really spent? But yet we want to see God do a great work. We want to see Him cast. We want to see souls saved. We want to see missions increased. We want to see God do something wonderful through us. But we've spent no time in prayer. How much time do we really spend for our missionaries? We send them a little bit of money, but may I tell you, and I've told you before, the greatest thing, the greatest need that they have is not money. The greatest need that they have is prayer. And that's the prayer of the people. Why? Because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so I'd ask you, how much time have you spent for the church? In prayer. You say, preacher, but I've got all these needs. You expect everyone else to pray for you, but you don't expect to pray and spend any time in front of the Lord for the needs of others. May I tell you, this church has needs. How much time have we spent in prayer for this church? Say, preacher, what are the needs? And I'll take care of it. No, I want you to pray and have faith that God's going to answer it. Amen. And yes, He might use you to do it. But in the same sense, He'll never use you if it's without faith. I wonder how much time you've spent praying for the preacher. I've had plenty of people get mad at me. I'm telling you, I get love letters all the time. Love emails. Love texts. Love anonymously. I've had people email the website. Listen. It's amazing how many get mad at the preacher and spend no time in prayer. What's the priority? What's our priority? And Jesus said, look, here's the problem. you have no faith and you have no focus. And so I look as well that it's not just in the fact that prayer shows priorities, but I find that prayer has strengthening power. We would look at Hebrews chapter number 14 or 4 and verse number 16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Answered prayer builds faith. Remember how I said that if you'll have a greater faith than faith promised missions, that faith is going to grow the rest of your walk? It will. The first time that God answered your prayer, you say, "Preacher, God's never answered my prayer." My dear friend, I'm telling you, and I'm the first preacher to tell you that God doesn't hear the prayers of a lost man. The first prayer that He hears of a lost man is, "Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner." Amen. But I'm telling you, God is merciful. And you say, "God's never heard my prayer." It must be because you're lost. I'm just being honest. I'm not trying to be ugly. But may I tell you that I've even had some lost people tell me that God answered their prayer. And you know what? He probably did. Not because He heard them, but because there was someone else that was His child that knew the need and began to pray that same prayer that they needed. And He took care of them. May I tell you that God still reigns on the just and the unjust, and the sun still shines on the... You can't tell me that you haven't seen God move. And the first time as a child of God that you see God... Hold on a second. I just told you the first time that is you're ever going to hear God answer your prayer. You're here today and you're saved. God's already answered your prayer. Done. You're here today and you say, "But God hasn't heard me since then." How many times have you knocked? We try to point out, Jeremiah likes to pray at lunch and at supper, and he likes to pray for the meals. And he'll always pray for Jacob to have a safe trip home, or Jacob's at work, pray for Jacob at work. And he'll pray for John if he knows that John's out doing something, pray for him to have safety. And there's been some times that we'll just get done praying for supper, and then Jacob will walk in the door. And we always try to point out to Jeremiah that God heard his prayer. You say, "Preacher, that's ridiculous." No, hold on a second. I'm teaching him to grow faith. That everything I need, God's going to hear me through. Oh, there's some times that God hasn't allowed me to have something, but may I tell you, He's always answered. I think of 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 14 and 15. The Bible says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." In Mark chapter 11 and verse number 24, the Bible says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." How much time have you spent focused in prayer? And yet we want to see God do great things. He moves on. In Matthew 17, He tells them in verse number 21, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer." And I know some of you have already blocked this one out. And fasting. So I find that here's the causes why we won't have a greater faith promise. It's not because of the preacher. It's not because of the people. It's not because of the Savior. It's not because of the times. It's because of our lack of faith, our lack of focus, and our lack of fasting. And you say, "Preacher, you expect me to fast." Some of you have already begun to make excuses of why. And so therefore, I want to give you the perception of fasting. Notice, if you would, take your Bibles, hold your place in Matthew 17, just for purpose. I don't know that we're coming back, but just for purpose, hold it there. Turn over to the book of Isaiah 58. Can I teach fasting to you for a moment? I don't have enough time to teach all of it to you, but I would like to teach you some things about fasting. You see, fasting is really abused today, or neglected, however you want to look at it. It's really misunderstood. I had a young man that had came to the church years ago, and every Sunday he fasted. He asked me about it. He said, "Preacher, isn't that what I'm supposed to do? Every Sunday I don't eat so that I can come and be spiritually fed." And I said, "You lack understanding." I've had people tell me that they're going to do this or they're going to do that and they're going to do all these things, and yet, what's the Bible say? What's the Bible say? Notice, if you would, Isaiah 58, I find the motions that they're using. Isaiah 58, verse number 1. Now, you want to read on, you read the entire chapter, but for time's sake, I'm going to read the first six verses here. In verse number 1 of Isaiah 58, he says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." Notice this. "Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice," notice this, "to be heard on high." Look at verse 5. "It is such a fast that I have chosen for a day for a man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke?" Now I want you to see here the motions. There are many that believe that it is just a skipping of a meal. I can skip a meal and go on. He said, look, you've skipped the meal and you've just continued to live your day and do all of your practices the same. And there was some times as I worked a secular job that I wouldn't take a lunch. I wouldn't take a breakfast. I would just take that time. But I did not. I couldn't take off the whole day from work. But there were some things that needed to be prayed about. And so I skipped those meals. And I skipped those times. And I would just go and I would find a place that was by myself. And I would pray that entire time. And fasting used to where you afflict the soul. That's what he said in verse number 6. He's talking about afflicting the soul. And there's some times. And may I tell you, so often we say, well, preacher, it's without food. That's not just fasting. You see, we've got this polluted idea of fasting because of medical fasting. You're going to go get your cholesterol taken. It's good that you don't eat 12 hours before. You say, preacher, why is that? Unless you want on cholesterol medicine. Amen. Now they've got blood sugar tests that can test for months ago. That's pretty awesome. They called me and they said, hey, your blood sugar 3 months ago was still good. I was like, boy, praise the Lord. I don't know how it works. She's like, yeah, it's what you see on TV. I was like, not me. Amen. And this whole idea of fasting and the motives behind it was just so that they could check the block and say, yep, we've done what God has required, and fasting is still essential today, but it's more than just skipping a meal. It's more than just isolating some time. No, hold on. It's a placement of heart. It's a direction of heart. It's not some motion that you go through. May I tell you that the mechanics of religion are already dead today. And they were dead back then too. Say, preacher, what's it about? Crucifying the flesh. May I be honest with you? Most people need to skip time with their phones and their TVs more than they do the meal. And it won't hurt us to miss some food either. Amen. If you look, and I know some of you are going to say, well, preacher, I'm diabetic, I'm this, I'm that, I'm on this medicine and that medicine. I would like to ask you, and don't get mad at the preacher, but I'd like to ask you, has our bellies not gotten us in some of the trouble that we're in? Amen. I'm not trying to be ugly. I told Sister Sarah this morning, I said, I have got to do something. I don't want to gain any more weight. I want to get back to where I was, and I want to get back to my fighting weight so that I can wrestle Jacob, and he doesn't say, well, Dad, it's because you're so much bigger than me. Amen. Isn't that right, Jacob? He's got long arms, too, so I do need some advantage. Amen. But we don't wrestle. We don't. We don't wrestle, do we? Amen. Notice, if you would, verse number 6 of Isaiah 58. He says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness." This is really what God's desire is. Listen, if you're going to skip a meal and you're not willing to release the bands of wickedness that's on you, forget it. Eat the meal. Amen. Don't even worry about spending the time. May I tell you that God does not hear. Do you remember James 5:16? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. He's the one that says, look, I don't want the bands of wickedness to be upon me. You can't go out and live in sin and expect to turn right around and say, Lord, I'm going to surrender my heart and not really mean it. Amen. That's what that means. You're just doing this because, well, today's the day. Today's Sunday. Oh, I'm telling you, the world knows what a hypocrite is. Amen. May I tell you what we need to do? You know what this fasting really explains? Is that it's every day of our life. God doesn't desire for us to just live close to Him one day or 2 days a month, or every Sunday, or a couple weeks. No. He says that, look, this is the fast that I've accepted. This is the fast that I've chosen. Go ahead, break the bands of wickedness. Get those bands off your life. He goes on and he says, he's speaking here in verse number 6, and he says that it's to undo heavy burdens. What's it say in Matthew chapter number 11? Take my yoke, because His burdens are light. All ye that are heavy laden. That's what he's speaking. Hold on. What's he talking about, faith? Undo those heavy burdens. Now, this is one of the hardest words that we've had to try to explain to Jeremiah. Say, preacher, why is that? Well, explain to a four-year-old what a burden is. I'm talking about in the spiritual aspect. And yeah, you can give him a load and tell him this is what it is, but how many times have we been heavy burdened? And yet Jesus said, in the book of 1 Peter, it tells us in chapter 5, cast all your cares upon me, on him, before he careth for you. And he says, look, I want you, this is the fast that I've chosen. This is really what I want you to do. It's not about checking the block and saying that we've been able to do something. And look at how I've afflicted and look at how I've saddened. And the Pharisees, may I tell you, in the New Testament, the Pharisees fasted. The disciples of John fasted. The Pharisees made sure everyone knew that they fasted. And yet, John had preached that you need works meet for repentance. Verse number 6 again. He goes, and let the oppressed go free. Let the oppressed go free. You say, preacher, what's that mean? How many times do you hold on to something? And you've ran it, and you've ran it, and you've ran it. And I know you're going to say, preacher, you do the same thing. I try not to. I do have trouble with stupid. Sometimes stupid just amazes me, and I keep going on about it. But how many are already oppressed? I'm talking about real oppression. Our society doesn't know what real oppression is. We really don't. It says, let the oppressed go free. I wonder how many times we hold someone that's guiltless at fault and we never let them go. You know what forgiveness is? Forgiving them even when they don't deserve it. It's really what it is. And then he goes on. Verse number 6. And that ye break every yoke. May I add to that, without you thinking that I'm trying to change the Bible, that you would break every yoke that's attached to the flesh and not attached to the Spirit. I gave you Matthew 11 a moment ago when Jesus had said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, take my yoke." That's not the yoke we need to break. You see, in verse number 5, they're talking about afflicting their soul. But truly, this whole flesh rears up. What's the purpose of fasting? It's coming to the place where we have afflicted the flesh, not the soul. Afflicted the flesh. And came to that idea that the flesh is still needing to be crucified today. May I tell you that sin will render you powerless, no matter how much faith you have. What Jesus is teaching His disciples here is what we need to grasp. Yes, we need that faith. We need that focus. We need a prayer life. But if we don't have the right living to go with it, that fasting which kills the flesh, that fasting which feeds the spirit, that fasting which is motivated, it's not just the fact that I'm going to chalk off this block of time and I'm going to afflict myself in this manner. There's many out there that do that today. There's still those in the Philippines that hang themselves on a cross and afflict them, thinking that God's going to hear them louder. Oh, listen. God doesn't hear me because I beat my flesh or beat my body. God hears me when I live for Him. And I, in the spiritual aspect, crucify the flesh. Do we really want to see a larger faith promise? It's going to take faith. It's going to take focus. And it's going to take fasting, because not only do I see the perception of fasting, I see the potential of fasting. You see, fasting brings us beyond us. It brings us past our own abilities. It brings us to God's ability, because the flesh can't do it. Remember what He told the disciples when they were there in the Garden of Gethsemane? That the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Fasting brings us to the place that the Spirit grows and the flesh shrinks. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 3, we find the church at Philippi, the Macedonian church is there. He says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." Are we willing to go beyond our power? That's really what He's speaking about. You know why they couldn't? Because it was bigger than them. You know the work that God's called us to? And I know some would say, "Well, preacher, it's really not fair. He's called us to a work that we're not really even able to do." He's called us to a work that only He can do. Only Him can do it. He's called us to a work that only He can do. But what He wants us to do is just let Him do it through us. That's faith promise. It's not us doing it. It's Him doing it through us. Why could not we cast Him out? Why can't we see bigger? Why can't we see God do more? Why can't we reach the world? Well, it was because of our faith. It was because of our focus. And it was because of our fasting. What's the truth today? The truth is God wants to save that child. God wants to save that man. God wants to reach the world. The truth is He's given us the commission. We have the answer. I don't know if it's true. I'm not a great big conspiracy theorist, but I definitely believe there's some truth to some of it. My grandfather, when he got cancer, had made the comment that they already have the cure, but they won't release it because it's a $1 billion profit. And he's got some truth there. It is. It is a profit. Go ahead and see how much money the American Cancer Society has and gets. See how much their CEO makes. Could you imagine if we found out that they really did have it? What would you think of that individual that said, we have it, but the money's more important than the life? You'd say, how awful. How horrible. To think that someone, now listen to me, had to go through the treatments that they have that usually end up dying from it later. Either the treatment or the cancer. Say, how wicked. And yet, may I tell you that the only thing that cancer treatment can save them from is the cancer that's of today. But yet we have a gospel message that will save them for all eternity. And we say, I don't know if it's worth it. Why could not we cast them out? You know, it's the disciples' choice. It's your choice. But I'd ask you today to be honest enough to say, you know what? My faith does need to grow. I haven't really been trusting. I haven't really been... This is kind of that year that we've kind of drawn back and I've just got to make sure that everything's fine. That's not faith. Faith is just trusting Him and following Him. Then I look and I find as well, what about our focus? Prayer's free, and yet we still don't do it. I look at our fasting. Our coming to the place that we've broke all bonds, all yokes with this old flesh, and we've fed the Spirit that we could grow closer to Him. How about you today? What would your answer be? How would you respond? I'm glad to say that eight of the nine went on to serve the Lord. Don't be the Judas. Was this the breaking point? When he said, yep, I'm fine. I'm good enough. That's kind of free. I didn't really have that in my notes. Just kind of a thought that one of them decided that he didn't need that faith. Didn't need that focus. He didn't need that feeding. Let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, I pray that You would help us today. There is such a great need in front of us. If we were to go back and look at this multitude again, Lord, the overwhelming feeling that we would have as we look out in this world and see all the lost around us. Father, if we just looked in our communities and in our country, Lord, it should break our heart to see the wickedness that's so accepted. Lord, it's really become the norm today. I pray that You would just touch us. Lord, that we would desire to apply this answer. It's not just in hearing it. Lord, it's applying it. Help us today. Take this invitation. Use it to Your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Every head bowed.